Scripture reading this morning is Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. Please stand in honor of God's word. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our hearts and our minds as we hear your word this morning. Fill us anew and guide us through the power of your spirit. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brother said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, 'I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All families have problems. Amen. And the family from Scripture we are going to focus upon today is Jacob and his sons. It is a family that certainly had problems, long-standing problems, from the time Jacob, along with his mother Rebekah, tricked his brother Esau into giving up his birthright. Jacob's family, in today's terms, would certainly be considered dysfunctional, to say the least. Today's passage is an encounter Jacob's sons have with one another. There is Joseph, the favored son, remember, of Jacob. And remember, Jacob gave to him a richly ornamented robe. Joseph's brothers hated him. They saw the favoritism and they despised him. Joseph also has dreams. His dreams were about binding sheaves, and his sheaf rose up, stood upright, and the sheaves all gathered around him and bowed down. And then he had another dream about the sun and the moon and 11 stars all bowing down to him. Now, if he was smart, he wouldn't have shared these dreams with his brother. But we know he was not too bright in this area, and he shares these dreams with his brothers. And needless to say, that just instills in them more rage and anger. The brothers decide to kill him, but upon the insistence of brother Reuben, they don't. Instead, they sell Joseph to Ishmaelites that are traveling to Egypt. And then they lie and report to their father that he is killed by a wild animal as they put some blood on his clothing and take it back to their father. Joseph is then sold in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials. And God is with Joseph in the midst of all of this. And Potiphar puts him in charge of his entire household. Well, then there's Potiphar's wife who tries to seduce him on more than one occasion. And then she finally has this plot and she tries to seduce him one more time and grabs his cloak as he runs out the door. And she's got the cloak and she concocts a whopper of a story. Potiphar ends up putting him into prison because of it, believing his wife. And yet while he's in the prison, God is still with him and and guiding and leading him, and he becomes a leader even in the prison. He finds favor with the warden. And while he's there in prison, there is a chief cupbearer and a chief baker. And Joseph is assigned to attend to these individuals, and they have dreams, and Joseph interprets their dreams. In the end, the chief cupbearer is restored to his position with Pharaoh, and of course, good old Joseph is hoping he'll put in a good word for him. But it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. Cupbearer got restored and he forgets about Joseph, and he's in prison 2 years until Pharaoh has a dream, and he needs somebody to interpret his dream. He can't find anyone. And the cupbearer, oh yeah, there was a guy down there in the prison with us. And he tells him about Joseph. And Joseph interprets the dream and tells Pharaoh there will be 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine. Pharaoh needs someone to be put in charge, and he looks to the wisdom that Joseph has, and Pharaoh puts Joseph in charge. And as he's in charge, there certainly is famine in the land. And only God could orchestrate how this all works out, because there's Joseph's brothers. His family is in need of food, and so they travel to Egypt to get some grain. And he recognizes them, but they don't know who he is. Remember, they're thinking he's long gone. They aren't even thinking about him anymore, probably. And Joseph kind of toys with them in this little scenario. He accuses them of being spies, and then he gives them grain to take home and makes one stay behind as a hostage, and he puts silver in their sacks and then accuses them of stealing. And this whole scenario until he finally couldn't stand it anymore, and he weeps loudly. And then he reveals himself to his brothers, and he forgives them. Eventually, all the brothers, along with his father, come to Egypt. Jacob dies, their father. And it's after his death that now the brothers are getting a little bit concerned. Okay, so he forgave us while Dad was alive, but maybe, you know, maybe he's going to seek revenge now that Dad's out of the picture. They knew he had incredible power to do whatever he wanted to do with them. He could retaliate. He could go back on his word. And when we look at this scene in today's scripture passage, we can see the heart of forgiveness. The brothers recognize their sinfulness, and they ask for forgiveness once again from their brother Joseph. And Joseph is once again moved to tears. Joseph wants that relationship with his brothers, and he even goes a step further in providing for his brothers and their children. He blesses them abundantly, providing restoration beyond anything they could ever imagine. And the key to it all is that Joseph said that what the brothers meant for harm, God intended it for good. Many lives are being saved through Joseph's leadership in Pharaoh's palace. The Lord worked all these things together for good. See, Joseph's story has a ring of the good news of Jesus Christ within it. There's first the recognition, and just as the brothers recognize their sins, we acknowledge our sinfulness before Almighty God. And then there's the relationship. Joseph desired so much to have a relationship with his brothers. He longed for it, and he desired it. And there's no one who longs and desires for a relationship more than Jesus does with you and me. And then there's the part of restoration. Just as the brothers were forgiven and restored and blessed, we are restored through God's grace and mercy through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. And the forgiveness that we receive is simply out of this world. And we're blessed with an incredible new life, a love and a peace that fills us up to overflowing, more than we could ever imagine. The tears that Joseph shed, those tears of forgiveness, speak volumes to a hurting heart. Do you realize how revengeful Joseph could have been? Do you realize he could have rehearsed every awful thing that these brothers caused? Being thrown in a cistern, sold as a slave, being falsely accused of taking advantage of a woman, being thrown into prison for 2 years. Joseph had quite a list that he could have thrown up to his brothers. But Joseph realized his relationship with those brothers was far more important. Joseph also looked for the good that took place amidst the pain, God's hand in the whole situation. A teacher once told each of her students to bring a clear plastic bag and a sack of potatoes to school. They were instructed to call to mind every person that had a grudge against them. For every person they refused to forgive, they chose a potato, wrote on it the name and the date, and put it in the plastic bag. They were to carry this bag with them everywhere, putting it beside their bed at night, on the car seat when driving, on their lap when riding, next to their desk during classes. Some bags became quite heavy. Lugging this around, paying attention to it all the time, and remembering not to leave it in embarrassing places was really a hassle. Over time, the potatoes became moldy and smelly and began to sprout eyes. The teacher taught them a rather good lesson on the stinking smell of an unforgiving heart. It stinks. It eats away at the interior of our souls. And it is one heavy load to carry day in and day out, everywhere we go. The Lord doesn't want our hearts like that. He seeks to set us free from our own sinfulness and calls us, as believers, to forgive other people as he has forgiven us. One day, an angry man rushed through a museum in Amsterdam until he reached Rembrandt's famous painting, Night Watch. Then he took out a knife and slashed it repeatedly before he could be stopped. A short time later, a distraught, hostile man slipped into St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome with a hammer and began to smash a sculpture of Michelangelo's. Two cherished works of art were severely damaged. But what did the officials do? Throw them out and forget about them? Absolutely not. Using the best experts who worked with the utmost care and precision, they made every effort to restore the treasure. Surely, our relationships are more worthy of restoration than mere pieces of art. There's a story of an old gypsy woman wandering through Eastern Europe who happened to pass by an open doorway to an ordinary looking building in a little village. And from within came the sound of people singing. And so out of curiosity, she went in, and she found a church service in progress. She was drawn by the sound of music, and she stayed. She heard the gospel message, and at the end of the service, she went up, talked to the pastor. He led her in a prayer to receive faith in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. The old gypsy was a member of a rejected minority in society, but she was so thrilled by God's love and acceptance that she immediately went out into the streets and told everyone, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. She told shopkeepers, she told people on the street, she told everyone she met. And then she walked past a train station where there were two drunk men lounging there, their shoulders slumped, cigarettes dangling from their lips, and their entire demeanor was of such dejected hopelessness that the old woman walked over and repeated what she had been saying to everyone in the village, God loves you, God loves you. They were not overly thrilled with what she said. One of them responded by slapping her across her face. As the woman recovered from the shock, she said, God loves you, and I forgive you. And he slapped her again and again until the woman lay bloodied and senseless on the ground, and the two drunks walked away. Christians in that town heard what had happened to the old woman, and they took her in, and they nursed her back to health, and eventually she moved into a little room in a dilapidated building. And one day she hears a knock at the door. And she opens the door and there's a man standing there. And he asks her if she remembered him. She shook her head no. And he said, do you remember a year ago when you told two drunks at the train station that God loves them? Yeah, she replied. And well, the man continued, I am the drunk who slapped you and left you for dead. But for weeks and months afterward, what you said haunted me. So I found someone who could tell me about God. And I told God I was sorry, and he forgave me. I've become a Christian because of what you said. And I've been looking for you ever since, because I want to say I'm sorry and ask you to forgive me as well. Because they lived in a repressive society, the old woman was a little bit alarmed and thinking that maybe he was a spy for the secret police. So she told him to verify the truth that he needed to kneel on the public sidewalk and pray, knowing that no KGB agent would ever do such a thing. And the man immediately dropped down to his knees and prayed, thanking God for his love and his mercy and his grace. When he got up from his knees, he and the old woman embraced. Jesus not only forgives our sins, but he gives us the heart to forgive others as well. Let me ask you this morning, is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? Is there someone in your life that you need to forgive today? Have you shed tears over that situation? Have you cried? Have you wept? Are you longing to share forgiveness with that individual? That it might bring tears to your eyes as you restore a relationship that was so broken and so hurtful. I could probably guarantee that there's at least one person in this room today that needs to forgive somebody. Statistically, I could probably say that is true. And you know who you are. You know who you need to forgive, who you need to let it go. Let it go. Think of what Jesus Christ has done for you when he died on that cross and he took away every single one of our sins. And I know sometimes people can hurt us badly, and it's painful. I've been there, believe me. And it's hard sometimes to forgive, but Christ calls us to forgive. If you want to draw close to Jesus, forgive. May you do so that tears will run down your face as you're restored with that individual. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you and we praise you for the story of Joseph. What an incredible life, Lord. Through all the struggle and all the pain that he had to go through. And oh Lord, he could have had such a revengeful spirit against his brothers. He had every right. He had all the power at his hand to do whatever he wanted to do with them. And yet, Lord, you worked in his heart. You worked in his heart so dramatically that he wept. He wept for his brothers. Father, we pray that you work in our hearts so dramatically as well, that we might weep for those who have hurt us, that we might weep to be restored. Take away anger, take away revenge, take away the evil thoughts that go through our minds, Lord, when someone hurts us. Set us free in Jesus. We thank you that we can come to you with tears running down our faces because you have forgiven every single thing we've ever done and every single thing we will do. We thank you and we praise you that you love us so much. Help us to be filled with that kind of love. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.